Great to see everyone. Let's turn our scriptures to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. It's a long chapter, and it's a long passage we're reading, but it'll be a blessing to us. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, verses 10 all the way to 61. Genesis chapter 24, verse 10 through 61. Hear the word of the Lord. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of waters at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink, and I'll water your camels, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. Verse 15, before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulder. The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please give me a little water to drink from your jar. She said, drink, my lord. And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water, and she drew for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. When the camel had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels and said, please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. She added, we have plenty of both straw and fodder and room to spend the night. Then the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord and said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsman. Then the young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things. Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. Laban ran out toward the man to the spring. As soon as he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms and heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, thus the man spoke to me, he went to the man. And behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. He said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. So the man came to the house and unharnessed the camels and gave straw and fodder to the camels. And there was water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Then food was set before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have said what I have to say. He said, speak on. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, male servants and female servants, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and to my clan and take a wife for my son. I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord, before whom I have walked, will send his angel with you and prosper your way. You shall take a wife for my son, from my clan, and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my clan. And if they will not give her to you, you will be free from my oath. Verse 24, I came today to the spring and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you are prospering the way I go, behold, I am standing by the spring of water. Let the virgin who comes out to draw water, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from your jar to drink. And who will say to me, drink and I'll draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew water, and I said to her, please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I'll give your camels drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels drink also. Then I asked her, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman to his son. Now then, if you're going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go. Let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. Verse 52, then Abraham's servant heard the words. He bowed himself to the earth before the Lord. And the servants brought out jewelry of silver and of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave to her brother and to her mother costly ornaments. And he and the man who were with him ate and drank, and they spent the night there. Then they rose. When they arose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. My brother and her mother said, let the young woman remain with us a while, at least 10 days, and after that she may go. But he said to them, do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. They said, let us call the young woman and ask her. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? She said, I will go. So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s. And may your offspring possess the gates of those who hate him. Then Rebekah and her young woman arose and rode on the camels and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your God of every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That every good gift is truly from you, for your good Father, and you have blessed us with much. Though often we do not see all of your blessings, but Lord, you're truly the one who have blessed all of the people in this world, whether those who confess their faith in you or not, those who are righteous and unrighteous, you bless all of us, and you show your favor. And yet, Lord, you have given us greater favor, more special, for you have chosen us as your own, elect. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you have chosen us, not because we are good, but because you're good. And we ask that this evening, that may we know that we're blessed in Christ, and may we bless your name, may we honor your name, and may our hearts arouse with love and adoration and zeal to honor Christ and him who is now reigning over all of creation, and he will return to proclaim his bride as his own. And Lord, we are eager as we wait and long for that day. Oh Lord, we ask for your blessing and your presence this evening. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. It's an interesting thing, if you think about it, how a man falls in love with a woman. Now, I'm single, so I don't have any story to tell you. But I'm sure every single one of you who are sitting together with somebody or had an experience of that can tell a lot of story. Story of love, story of how you knew this was the right person, or how you chose a person, or how it just came about. It was an accident. Love at first sight. Well, Genesis story here gives us that kind of story, but a little different. Not very American, should I say. It's not about a man pursuing a woman, but rather a servant finding a wife for his master's son. But here is a story of a love life that extends and really breaks the ground for a history of humanity. Because it is Isaac who marries this young woman, Rebecca, that brings a redemptive history in a closure for Abraham's life. This is one of the last acts of Abraham that he is doing here. And it's one of the historical and important moments that we can see. Because the real question is this: how can the legacy of an older generation pass on to the younger generation? Because Abraham has just buried his wife, and he recognizes he's an old man in chapter 24, verse 1. He is now old, and he's contemplating how I want to die, and how I want my legacy to be passed down to the next generation. And he looked at his son Isaac, and he said, aha, there is something not good. He needs a partner, a helper who's suitable for him. Almost like how God, when he saw Adam and said, you need a helper, son. So Abraham had a plan. Well, he wanted to get a wife for him. He said, but I don't want to get a wife from here in this Canaanite land, these foreigners, these godless people. I want to find a wife, a godly woman, a person who is associated with our understanding and knowledge and culture, who can actually formulate and protect and raise children with great values. I'm sure that's the thought that all of you have. And that's a question that we all should ask as Christians. How can we pass our legacy? And he decides, I am going to do it this way. And he sends his servant and says, I want you to go back to my hometown. But don't bring my son, but I want you to go and find him a wife. And here the servant is on a great mission, and his name is not mentioned here. And I want us to really focus on that. His name could have been mentioned. We probably know what this man's name is. Probably Eleazar from Damascus. Probably that was his name. But the writer here, or Moses here, as he's teaching his Israelites, as before they're going into the land of Canaan, he's telling them the name is not important. What's really important is that he is servant of Abraham. And Abraham sends his servant to go and find his wife for his son. Now, we do have sermon notes here. There are 3 points. The real question is, how can we pass upon our next generation the blessing? How can the next generation be called, oh, blessed of the Lord? There are 3 ways to do that. Man of faith or woman of faith, man or woman of honor, and a man or a woman on a mission. Those are the ways in which we can be considered and called, oh, blessed of the Lord. How your children, how we as younger people, I'm considered young here, can be called, oh, blessed of the Lord. So let's look at this here. So this servant is now received a blessing, and he received an oath to go and find a son, not to bring Isaac back there if the woman refuses, but to go and find this woman to bring back. And verse 10, this is what servant decides to do. The verse 10, that the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed. He took camels. What's a camel good for? Have you ever heard of camel race? I haven't. They ain't that fast. I mean, they're pretty fast. They're faster than us, I assume, but they're not that fast. If you want to go see watch a race, you watch horse or dogs. You know, those greyhounds. They run really fast. Not camels. They don't run that fast. I'm sorry. What are they good for? They're good for long traveling, carrying heavy things. And they're good for carrying much good. And here, servant decided, I'm going to take 10 camels and load them with much goods and take it so that I'll bring this woman. I'll cherish her with gifts, dowry. I'll pour it out. They have to give this woman to my master. That's the idea. Smart man, isn't he? He took them, he departed. He taking all sorts of gifts, verse 10, gifts from his master. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. It's a long journey, probably 3 months or longer, because now he's taking a camel here with a crew to bring that all together. And he came to a city. And verse 11, he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when the women go out to draw water. So they finally arrive there as the sun is about to set, or it's getting closer to the city, and he brings his camel, not into the city, but to the well that's outside of the city, and brings the camels, and he have them kneel down here. 10 of them. Just imagine, 10. Big, huge camels with long tongues, tired, weary, thirsty camels sitting here, and they can smell the water because the spring is right down here. And this man decides, we're not going to read it because it's too long, but he decides, I have an idea. Some of the women are going to come gather water because this is about the time of the day. So he's expecting some girls to come, and as they come, he said, I have a plan. I'm going to go to them, and I'm going to ask them for water. And this is actually part of his prayer. He's saying, Lord, I'm going to ask them for water. And I want this woman to not only give me water, but also said, I'm going to give drink to all of your camels. He's asking a little too much, don't you think? Camels drink a lot of water. You understand me? And they just had a long, long, long journey. And they are very, very thirsty. And remember, the sun is about to set. And here is he is looking for a woman who is not only kind enough, but who's in some sense stupid enough to say, I'll water them too. He's looking for a woman actually of a high virtue, isn't it? A woman who actually cares for others. That's really what he's looking for. He's actually saying, I want this kind of woman for my master's son to have. And says, please let that be the one. And he says, as he was about to finish his prayer, a girl passes by. And he looked at her and said, oh, she's pretty, he said. And then she goes down and brings the water. Just imagine, he's just waiting there. He's like, okay, I'm going to wait. And then she comes out. He goes, hey, can you get me just, I can see him. He's like, can you give me a little bit of water, please? And she says, oh. And then she takes this jar off of her shoulder. And then she pours it out for her. He says, of course, and give it to her. And then she says those special words. And says, I will also give water to your camels too. Maybe she saw only one and didn't see the 10 of them, right? But she did it, and she poured it out. She went down, and it was a hard labor. I'm thinking, why is this man not helping her? You know, something's not right. His other men are all sitting there. But this is a woman's job in that sense. And she's drawing water. It's not an easy thing, and she's going back and forth and back and forth. And he's sitting there watching her, and he's thinking to himself, verse 21, the man gazed at her in silence. It's a long silence. She's puffing and huffing and sweating, and he's staring at her like, And he was considering whether the Lord has prospered his journey or not. As she finished, the man decides, I have another thing I can do this time. Takes out a gold nose ring. Now we're like, what? Nose ring? That's what young kids do these days. That's what they did back in the day, right? She brought a gold nose ring and bracelets and put it on there. I said, here's a gift to you. And I'm imagining she's thinking like, what's going on here? Why are you giving? Let me put the, okay, what? And then he says, hey, I am a servant of Abraham, someone who's related to you, and they're looking for a wife. And you know what this woman does? Oh. And she runs back home. You realize that? She just runs back home, leaving them here. Sounds kind of very similar. We heard this before. It's almost like in John 4, right? The Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus asks for water and she just runs back. This woman does the same thing. She just runs right back and she goes, look what happened to me, and tells the whole family. And here, she has a brother. Verse 29, Rebecca had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban rose out toward the man to the spring. So I want us to really understand here. There's three characters. Four, but really it's about three. It's about the servant, it's about Rebecca, and it's about this brother Laban. And what the writer is doing is making distinction between these two groups. Laban, and Rebekah, and also Abraham's servant. And I want us to really see that. These two will be considered the blessed of the Lord. And Laban will be considered in juxtaposition as he is bringing these two who are blessed ones, and he is showing how this one comes short of that blessedness. And the character that Laban shows here is this. Verse 30, as soon as he saw the ring and the bracelet on her sister's arms and heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, he ran out. See what's going on here? It's a juxtaposition between these two groups. That Laban, what is he looking for here? What is it that compelled him to run and follow this man? It's the gold. It's the money. It's the wealth. And he saw that and he grabbed it and he ran out to get him and says, oh, what are you doing here? Come. It's interesting the way he says it. He says, verse 31, he says, come in, blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. No, he didn't. He just went out. But I did it, he says. He says, what's going on? And he's eager. He says, oh, blessed of the Lord. You're blessed. He is the one who's giving the title here. But that's the idea. That's the irony of it. Here is a man who shows a character that's contrary to a man who should be blessed. And the ones who are going to be considered, oh, blessed of the Lord, are going to show completely different characteristics. And I want us to look at this in three different ways. A man of faith or woman of faith. How are we to be blessed in the Lord? Is that we require faith. Look at this. The way this man, the servant of the Lord, how he is functioning here. One thing we do have to really see, this servant is a servant that's really homegrown in Abraham's house. He's the one who's been purchased probably most likely at Damascus, an acquirer of Abraham, but this servant saw how his master functions. He heard of how master has made his decisions, how master has walked from one day to another. This servant is actually a reflection of his master. You see, master is servant is not greater than his master. And here is a character of Abraham that is oozing through this servant and showing us what Abraham's day-to-day life is like. And here, this man has shown greater faith than anyone else you can see in the Old Testament. He prays to the Lord in his heart and he sees his answer right away. Abraham and Sarah took many years to see the fruit of their prayer, hasn't they? It took them a long time to see Isaac being born before them. But here, as he is about to finish speaking, the girl is already there. Meaning, before even he made that prayer, she was already leaving home. It's a sense of his faith and God's listening to his faith coming together. But this faith is because he has grown in Abraham's house, trained in that way to put trust in the Lord. And the most fascinating thing he says, he does not say, you're my God. But he always says, oh Lord, verse 12, oh Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. He knew his place. And he is a man of faith who puts his trust in the Lord. It's a profound thing that as he utters his prayer and as he hears, you see, the reason why he was gazing at her was because he just made a prayer. And he's looking at it with great faith and saying, is God answering it? And yes, indeed, God is answering that prayer. Even before he actually prayed, hasn't he? And you can see Rebekah actually doing the similar thing. When they ask her, will you go? She says in verse 58, I will go. She said, I'm willing to follow a stranger. Only thing I know about her, only thing I know about this man, is that he has 10 camels, and he gave me some good stuff, and he told me a story. It's a crazy story as it is. But she understood that God is working through all of this. And says, I am willing to put my trust in God rather than my senses. Rather than my way of thinking. She says, I'm going to go. You see, these two are blessed ones because they're men and women of faith. Not faith in some hopeful and positive thinking. Not something that may happen. You see, their faith is in God who can bring about, who has blessed them and promised them great blessings. Their faith is not on some possibilities or probabilities, but their faith was in the one in whom God has spoken. You see, it's the word of God that God has given to Abraham and the promises that God has given to him. They're putting the trust in his word and in God who has made those promises to them. And the second reason they can be considered men or women of honor, it is this. When we think about honor, I was initially thinking about man or woman of character, but I changed to honor because for us, being honorable quite often is about honesty, being transparent, being truthful. That's how we seek honor. Ancient Near Easterners thought a little differently. Let's look at Ruth with me. If you go to Ruth chapter 2, there's an interesting character named Boaz. If you can go to Ruth chapter 2 verse 1, it talks about Boaz, and the way he describes it is, now Naomi had relative of her husband, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And the worthy man here, or man of great wealth, he can go both ways, a worthy man or mighty, or man of valor or great honor. And Boaz is a reflection of that. And matter of fact, that same word is used later of Ruth as well. Now here is, well, let's read that actually. Verse 11, chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "And now, my daughter," Boaz is talking to Ruth, "do not fear, I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow woman, townsmen know that you are a worthy woman," or woman of honor. And so here is this sense of this worthy man, this man of honor, and this woman of honor. And how is that character portrayed? How does a man of honor behave? In verse 18, chapter 3, verse 18, Ruth, chapter 3, verse 18, this is Naomi speaking to Ruth and says, "This is what's going to happen." She replies, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." They're just speaking in the late in the evening time, after Ruth has returned from the talk and discussion with Boaz about getting married to her. And what Naomi tells Ruth after that evening is this: that man will not rest until he gets what he wants, until he keeps his promise of making you his wife. And chapter 4, verse 1, "Now Boaz has gone up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz has spoken came by." So Boaz gets right into action and gets the things done, and they get married that day. Probably not that day. But you get the idea here, right? For ancient Near Easterner, a man who's honorable, a man of honor, man of dignity, man of valor, is a man who does not rest until he keeps his promises, who does what he says he will do. He's a man of honor. And you can see that in this man. Can you? Think about this. He says, he comes after a long, long journey. He comes to the well, finds this girl, and this girl just disappears out of nowhere. And I'm thinking, what's going on? And this young man, Laban, comes and says, "Hey, why don't you come? We have a place now ready for you." And he goes in, and verse 32, the man came to the house. And Genesis chapter 24, verse 32. "So the man came to the house and unharnessed the camels, gave straw and fodder to the camels, and there was water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Then," verse 33, "the food was set before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat." See what's going on? I'm tired. I'm weary. But I have something more important right now. It's showing type of man he is. It's showing what kind of character he's showing. He's showing character that Abraham himself had. "I will not rest until I get it done." It's this character, the one who's to be blessed of the Lord, is the one who does what he says he will do. The one who will keep his promise. The one who will not rest. A restless man, if I may call it that. Until what he has desired to do is done. That's how we receive the blessing. Men or women of faith, man and woman of honor, and thirdly, man or woman on a mission. Why would he refuse food? I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, if I were in his shoes, I'd be like, let me talk to you after I eat. Mm-mm. I'm thinking, this man is crazy. Why was he saying, I gotta talk? And he gives this whole long speech. Realize that his speech is as long as the story. I'll be like, let me make it short. Just give me your daughter and we're gonna go, okay? Let's eat now. That's how I wrote it. No, he goes this, he's persuading, he's trying to win, he's trying to woe, and he's going, giving his heart and says, this is how I come, and this is how God has worked, and don't you see? And he is there persuading, seeking. And what's more incredible, he says this, in the next morning, as they said yes, this is what he says. Right here in chapter 24, verse 55. Her brother and her mother said, let the young woman remain with us a while, at least 10 days after she may go. So here, after the servant has rose early in the morning and says, we're going to now go back, the family says, 10 more days, please. And I personally think the reason why they asked for 10 more days is they were hoping they can get more out of them for the next 10 days. That's kind of how ancient Near Easterners did their wedding. You bring more gift, the next day bring more gift, next day bring more gift, and they wanted that more gift. Laban was saying, I'm going to make a fortune. Here it is. Let's sell this girl. But Laban was on a mission. He says, no. Let me go now. Let me go now. Let me go now. I must bring this girl. I must bring this woman and present it before my Lord. And here is a man who is on a mission and he's eager for it. You see, his faith is about this mission, isn't it? He's not praying and saying, Lord, give me victory in this area. Make me rich. Give me freedom that I may be as rich as my Lord. That's not where his faith is leading to. His faith is leading to his mission, isn't it? His mission that he's been set out to do, his prayer and faith is geared toward that mission. And his honor, the way he is moving and getting restless over the things to be done. Why? Because he is on a mission. He's not restless to make a wealth for himself or a name for himself. He's restless because he is on a mission. A singular mission in his life, right here at this moment, is to bring this girl over there on the other side. And I'm going to do it. And of course, God is orchestrating all of this so powerfully, so majestically. And in midst of it, the girl says, yes. I mean, what a crazy woman. Either this one is it, or this one is not it, you know? But God just unfolded all of this right before their eyes. And she accepts that mission. Why is this text here? So profoundly, it's at the end of Abraham's life. Why is this here? Why couldn't he just say, oh, they got a girl from over there and got her married? Why all of this? You see, the reason is for us to really understand how we can be blessed of the Lord. Everybody wants to be blessed, but nobody wants to have a faith like this man. Everybody wants to be blessed, but no one wants to be honorable as this man is. Everybody wants to be blessed, and no one is on a mission that is of the things of God. So often you hear about people and their mission is get money and wealth and build themselves something. I heard that at least 10 times past week. So talking to people here and there, and you talk about their story and their life, and all I can hear is, oh, how I want to build my company. Oh, how I want to build this, and how I want to do that, and I want to study this and accomplish this. And I ask in my own heart, Lord, may this not be me. I want to have a mission that is not about me,
but of the Lord, of His will.
May my prayers not be about, oh Lord, open this door so that I may accomplish this. Oh Lord, open this door so that I can be happy and have fun. But rather, Lord, open this door that I may suffer in restlessness, that I may win some souls for your kingdom. I hope our prayers are, our hope is, and I hope our work and our restless times is not about trying to find a rest for our soul in other places, but to be seeking the things of His kingdom for His glory. But often, that is not how I live. Though that is my prayer, often when things get tough and don't go the way I thought, and even the things go as I thought, and just little twist to it, I'm confused about it. And often the prayers turn not about God's kingdom and His glory and His honor. It's about me, myself, and I'm confused. Lord, help me and do this and help me do that. And it's all about me. That's more of how my prayer is like. I don't often seek the kingdom of God. It comes more like an accident, sadly. Is it just me? That life comes at us pretty hard sometimes. Sickness, disappointments, mistakes, sin, things we do and things others have done against us. So many ways we come so short of what we know we ought to do. And we don't live with great honor, do we? I'll be honest with you, I'm not a man of honor. I wish I could say, follow me. No, don't be like me. I wish I was honorable. I wish I was restless until I get what it is that we need to be done. That's not how my life has functioned in many years. It's just not. There's so many restlessness, not for the things of God, but restlessness for the things that's foolish and weak and of this world. How can we be blessed when our lives is not about a mission that's for the kingdom of God, but so often it's about ourselves? How can we be blessed when we are full of our own desires and our own dreams and our own ambitions? How can we be blessed? It's not because we did what is perfect, but rather because of the one who had a true faith. Then every step of the way, every hindrance, every lies, everything that was thrown against him, the whole world and the devil has thrown everything against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has never wavered trusting in his Father. Even on the cross when he says, I submit my spirit to you and gave his last breath. Even death on the cross, he had a full faith, trusting that the Father will keep his promises. That's a faith, isn't it? And he is truly the man of honor. That he was restless on earth. He did not have a place to rest his head. He moved from town to town without a place to sleep. He had many sleepless nights and sleepless mornings praying and seeking the will of God as a man. And he pursued the cross as a man and hung there fully awake and aware. You see, they gave him a gall, a drink, to soften his pain. And he refused because he knew what he had come to accomplish. He's a man of true honor. And indeed, because he was on a mission. Can I tell you of the mission of the Lord? It's to save sinners. It's to establish his glorious kingdom. It's to bring about wicked men and make them his own. That's how profound this mission was. And he fully accomplished it on the cross. And I submit to you, he is still working that mission out to you as his servants. And we are not greater than our master. And we are called to serve him until that end. Until his return, that he received the reward of his sufferings. Are you on a mission this evening? Or are you tired of how tough your marriage is? Are you tired? How tough your life is. I want to step on some toes tonight. It's not about you. It's about God. How much is your prayer filled with the things of the kingdom of God? Or how much is it filled with me, myself, and little life I have? How much of your life is about restlessness, seeking for the kingdom of God? Or is it about just you, and you, and you? Oh church, our Christ is on a mission, and He has delegated that work to you. Oh, blessed of the Lord, will you not persevere? Will you not put your trust in the Lord who's working through you and give your all, give your best? May your faith be about this mission. May your life be about this mission. And you'll be called, oh, blessed of the Lord. This is true blessing, isn't it? To partake of the greatest work on earth. Greater than creation, redemption. Redemption. Purchasing a people for God's name and for His glory. Let us run hard, brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, forgive us, oh Lord, for we lack zeal. We lack faith. We lack so many things. But, O Lord Christ, You have accomplished and great and mighty things. And, Lord, those servants are not greater than the Master. But may we come close to You. O Holy Spirit, work in our hearts. May we see beyond our circumstances, beyond our surroundings, beyond where we are, and look to heavens, where Christ is seated on the throne and is looking upon His church to accomplish and bring about His glory and honor in this dying and broken world. And we ask, You empower us with faith. You empower us with this honorable character, that we may be restless serving You and serving Your kingdom. Oh, we ask that Your name will be glorified and magnified this evening. And Lord, as we bring our offering this evening, won't You use it for Your mission, the mission to bring people to Yourself, that Christ's name will be glorified and magnified, that all may fall in love with You and fall down at on their knees and worship this King of glory. Would You use our offering and our deacon's fund to bring about Your kingdom on this earth? May Christ, Your name be glorified. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. For the closing psalm, we'll sing Tell His Praise in Song and Story.